chapter 4, Prince of Shinoda, text number 19. Relation and purport, by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Shri Prabhupada. He saw that the sacrifices mentioned in the Vedas were means by which people's occupation could be purified, and to simplify the process, he divided the one Veda into four in order to expand them among men. Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Sam Shabitam Ye Namuntare Vayam Upakaramaya Ridati Sva Paramtikam Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Raita Varada Shri Vasari Dhovanakarinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna in his reincarnation as Veda Vyas, he's very kindly trying to benefit the people in general. It's interesting to note that Prabhupada says above the Vedas is the Puranas and the Itihasas and Mahabharata. Samhita is not Itihasa. So, this is the Vaishnava school. We put more emphasis on the Puranas, Mahabharata, from which Bhagavad Gita is extracted, than we do on the Vedas, because the Bhagavad Gita mentions Vedavadarata, that in the Vedas, the people who study the Vedas, they can maybe get attracted to the flowery language, but they'll miss the essence. And the essence is what? The essence is that we should become devotees of God, of Krishna. Later we'll see that although Vyasadeva had compiled all these Vedas and Mahabharata, he still was feeling despondent. He wasn't fully satisfied. And Narada Muni, that's what we're going to read in this chapter, the appearance of Narada Muni. Narada Muni comes to him and tells him that, well, the reason you're feeling despondent is that you haven't compiled anything which is really holy solely with the personality of God. Therefore, people can misinterpret it and think that this the purpose of the life is to make, some kind of heavenly planet in the next life, rather than to qualify to go to out of this material world. Because the Vedas deal mostly with this material world in some way or another. Just like there's a Veda about medicine, there's a Veda about war. So Veda means knowledge. So this knowledge in the Vedas is dealing generally with the material world. Then there's also some idea of liberation, but that's a hazy idea. It doesn't give a clear description of what is the goal of the liberated person, what his activities are. Therefore, we don't stress the Veda. When Lord Chaitanya was asked why he wasn't studying Vedanta Sutra, he said that my spiritual master Sri wasn't qualified to study Vedanta Sutra. If he gave me this mantra to chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. But it's not that the Vaishnavas don't study. Jiva Goswami is being mentioned here on the Srila Prabhupada's purport. He was the greatest philosopher in modern times. He wrote so many books on philosophy. And Lord Chaitanya also was, of course, the greatest scholar. Even as a youth, he was able to defeat everybody in scholarly presentation. So it's not that the Vaishnavas lack scholarship, but they see that many times people can get enamored by scholarship. They become carried away by on the dint of their expertise in various fields of knowledge. And they miss the point, the purport. Just like this Digvijaya Pandit. He was proud that wherever he went, he was able to defeat others. And this was his mood. And he was collecting because they had to pay some tribute. Just like nowadays we have a football team. The football team is able to defeat another football team. Then they get some prizes. A prize fighter, a boxer, a wrestler, somebody. If they win, they get a big prize. So like that. Just because the culture was more in the mode of goodness. So the real heroes were the scholars. They would go and defeat other scholars. Then the people would give them. They would have to get some remuneration. So he was traveling in that way with horses and all so much property. And then he met Lord Chaitanya on the bank of the Ganga, and Lord Chaitanya, defeated him in a nice pastime. You can read that in Chaitanya Charitamrita. And why did Lord Chaitanya do that? Because he didn't want to defeat him in a public debate, because he knew that would have crushed him. And then people would come and take all his possessions, and he would have been left very, very embarrassed because he was so. So he just defeated him on the side, so to speak, without any formal debate. And then this Digvijaya became humble. And he prayed very sincerely to his Ishtadeva. Ishtadeva means the God who is one is directly, you can say, connected with. So his Ishtadeva was Saraswati. That's what he had been helping him. And so he was praying, how have you neglected me at this moment of crisis when I needed you? Why weren't you there to defeat this, help me defeat this boy? But then Saraswati explained it. This boy you're talking about, he's my worshipper of the Lord. He's my husband. So you should go and fall at his feet and like that. So he became a great devotee of Lord Chaitanya. And he was able to leave Navadvip in a very, you know, incognito, without anybody really knowing. Then people came to know that Lord Chaitanya had defeated him. So he wasn't overly embarrassed. In other words, the Lord didn't take pleasure in making people feel very embarrassed or humble them. He didn't take pleasure in that. But at the same time, he didn't shrink from those who wanted to confront him, because he was in the mood of Lord Chaitanya. He wasn't killing them like Krishna was fighting in the battle. With so many personalities he killed from his very childhood. But Lord Chaitanya's mood was not to kill the person, but to kill the demoniac mood. So this is an important point, because in our preaching work, we will meet opponents, and as this movement expands more and more, some power will come to us eventually. So we have to be careful how to exercise the power, not to be vindictive. That's the word, vindictive means. We take pleasure out of hurting others who have hurt us. But that wasn't Lord Chaitanya's mood. He wasn't vengeful. That's another word, vengeful or vindictive. He's those who relish seeing their enemy tortured in some way, like this rascal, Saddam Hussein. He has a torture chamber in his one of his palaces. He used to take his sons there to see his enemies being tortured, take pleasure in that. So, Vaishnava, of course, doesn't have any feeling like that. At the same time, there has to be a class of men who are not afraid to confront the enemies. Like Maharaj Pariksit, he was ready to take the sword and kill the Kali until he surrendered to him. So that's a different thing. Not that they relish that, but they don't shrink from it. Because that's their nature. They're ready to fight on principle of religion. So they come to the front. When the trouble is there, they come to the front. Whereas most of us, if there's a trouble, we want to get away from it, because we may get caught up in that violence or in that problem or whatever. But Kshatriya, those are Kshatriya nature, when there's a problem like that, they want to come and see who, if somebody needs protection, who is the innocent party here, who is the, if there's a culprit, if there's somebody who is an aggressor, then the Kshatriya naturally wants to check such an aggressor. So, Prabhupada was training as more to be Brahmin. He was saying that the Brahmin fights with his words, so that's what Lord Chaitanya did. He was the ideal Brahmin. He defeated this Digvijaya, Kashmiri Pandit, with his words, and that was sufficient. Sometimes we also say, the pen is mightier than the sword. The pen means the writing. But the words can be more devastating, more effective in bringing the result than the sword. But still, there may be occasion when the sword is also required, just like in the Battle of Kurukshetra. Okay, any questions?
Sometimes someone can show to us some mistakes what we did before, but from our side we can see this like, you know, criticism or you know that someone is against us. So how we should, you know, see in proper way all this situation?
Well, if we're the one who's pointing out the faults, then we have to see that Generally, we don't have an attraction to the false argument. But if we do, it should be done in a constructive way out of some genuine affection for that person. But that depends on relationship. If we don't have such a relationship, then oftentimes it's better to remain silent. If we're just going to create counterproductive result, if the result is the person becomes more defensive and less, you can say, ready to acknowledge their mistake, then what is the use of such preaching? If we're on the other side, if somebody's preaching to us, then we also have to ascertain, is this person envious of me? Are they actually my well-wisher? If they're not my well-wisher, if they're malicious, then I don't care at all for them. Why should I listen to them? They're just exerting their false ego. But if somebody really is our well-wisher, and they want to help us, then we should entertain them. We should consider, yes, this is something that I should put some thought to and see maybe there's something I can correct in my own behavior. Therefore, we say preaching is a thankless task because generally people won't appreciate it. Christ said, don't give your pearl to the swine. Preaching is the best thing. You know, we're giving energy to people, encouraging them somehow. If they don't appreciate it, then we feel cheated because we're giving our time and energy in a constructive way, and they don't appreciate it, then. But still, sometimes, it takes time. We may preach something, and 6 months later, the person may think, or even, you know, 3 days later, the person may think about what was said, and they're more neutral. Because when we preach, even Prabhupada said, sometimes with the preaching, we cause agitation. And so he would say, well, we can't preach like this. Like he was preaching about this, Ramakrishna, in a public meeting. He said something like, because of Ramakrishna, all Bengal has gone to hell. And half the people got up and went out in front of Prabhupada. So then he said, we can't preach like this. Even though it's true. It's true. But we can't preach like this in public. So we have to learn, you know, according to the result. Otherwise, if somebody's not interested in hearing from us, then why should we waste our time with them? Okay. Srila Bhagavatam ki.
Yeah.